I've said one of the first questions is how were you recruited? How did you get to know the job and your school and things like that? When you
How, which school did I go to?
yes, and how did you get to know
Well,
the job and that?
I went to the Leighton County High School for Boys,
Oh yeah.
11 plus that, oh yeah, 1934, and I finished matriculated, and that was the summer of 1939, and I left in that summer because Hitler had started his funny
Yeah.
tricks, and we didn't know quite where we were. There was no thought of university because my parents probably couldn't have afforded it anyway. So I went to the local employment office, which was in the top end of Leytonstone behind the station there, And this very nice fellow, he was always very, very amenable sort of chap, was doing his best, but there wasn't very much going. Oh,
Okay.
excuse me, there's the
Oh
front
yes. Well,
doorbell.
no, I'll be
One
on.
moment.
Yes.
Oops. Hello? Sorry
Yeah.
about that.
That's okay.
The person came. Well, nothing to do with me,
Oh yes.
Amazing, isn't it? There we are.
Yeah. And how did you hear about the vacancies
Well,
and
this
that?
employment officer put me onto that. He said there was this going at Waltham Forest, Waltham Abbey Gunpowder Factory, and would I fancy it?
This would be
Sorry.
the latter end of 39.
Yes,
Yeah.
it would be. Oh dear, I'd been left school perhaps a couple of months or
Oh
so,
yeah. Yeah.
kicking my heels, trying, looking around, seeing what I could do, and so I went up there and was, hooked in, as we
Oh
say, at the
yeah.
end of 1939.
Who interviewed you? Do you remember anything about the was it Blanchard
I
or
think I wouldn't
was
be
it in the office? Yeah.
100% sure, but I think it was Mr. Blanchard. Yes,
Oh yes.
yes, yes. In fact, when I think of it, I'm sure it must have been. Yes.
In the main lab, that'd be up in the little office, in up in his office in the corner, was it?
Yes.
Upstairs, I think his office was.
Yes, that's right. Yes, right. Yes, in the main lab.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And so he put before me what it was all about, and I started in the same room as Mr. Swan, the bookkeeper.
Yes, the restaurant we're in, it's right.
Weighing cordite
Yeah.
samples, using the usual chemical balance.
Oh
And
yeah.
there was another young chap with me. I think that was Richard at the time. I forget his surname, but he was one who teased Mr. Swan unmercifully.
Oh yes, because yes, I was one of the was the bookkeeper, wasn't he? Sat in the
Your
corner there.
bookkeeper, yes, who was a
Yeah.
short, rather rotund man, very nice fellow, but he suffered from a little self-importance. But I got on with him very well.
Yes.
He used when Richard would sing funny songs about him, rather lewd at times. He would stand up and say, "Oh, Richard, please don't."
I know. Oh
Words to that
yes. Yeah, I
effect,
remember those.
you
Yes.
can imagine.
Yeah.
But we used to go down to the Institute where, as you know, we played billiards and snooker, and we could do all sorts of things there. Well, Mr. Swan was very keen on draughts, and I was very good at draughts. I could play chess and draughts quite well, and we sort of had an on-running competition almost by the day,
Yeah,
That was
yeah.
quite good fun. Made something to do in the lunchtime,
That was very useful, that little institute, wasn't it?
Oh, very, very, yes,
Yeah,
indeed. It was
you
well
read and
used,
eat your lunch and
and
that.
it was very made life much more interesting, didn't it, really?
Yes.
Used to, I believe, eat our packed lunch there, and although sometimes I bought it in, I was a hungry devil. I used to bring food and buy a lunch off, not always, so I couldn't afford it, but as often as I could afford. To, I forget the good lady's name. She ran a little restaurant,
Oh, in
eating
the
house.
Abbey. In the Abbey,
In
was
the
it?
Abbey, yes. You
Yeah.
went up Powder Mill Lane and turned left along Sun Street there, and it's a little way
Yes,
along.
that's right. Yes, it was. Was it at, almost opposite the Abbey?
Yes, it would be.
The
Yes,
corner shop. Yes.
looking at the Abbey now, the whole place has been so altered that
Yeah.
it's very difficult to remember
Was it
exactly
Mrs.
where all
Ackroyd?
these places were,
What's the name, Ackroyd?
Ackroyd, you've got it.
Yes, that's
Oh,
right.
well done. Well
Yes, it
done.
comes to me.
You must have written it down.
Oh
Yeah, Mrs.
yes.
Ackroyd, that's right. She was,
Oh yeah.
again, a very nice person. We used to enjoy
But
going along and
then let's see. Then of course there was this library where there's a whole books and that. You could get out some the old magazines and that of going back yonks. What's that one common magazine that they...
You don't mean Punch, do you?
Punch and other things.
They used to have Punch in the Institute, didn't they?
Yes, and the sketch, was it? The London... Illustrated London News, that was it.
Yes.
And these things are bound up, and they've been on the shelf for yonks then, yes. You know, so they're quite historical then. Anyway, and... of course, you had to clock in and out, didn't you? Like it?
Yes, I remember that. We used to fly on. Most of us had bikes in those days, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we used to fly in, always on the dot sort of thing, and bang the machine hard as we could, because we may have been a false impression, but we thought that it might advance it by a minute or so.
Jump it so it.
That's right. Yes.
Jump it back a bit, yes.
Frighten the thing out of its life into letting you in a bit a minute earlier, so you didn't get your pay cut by a quarter of an hour or something, you know?
Yes. And do you remember one trick? I don't know if you ever tried it, but there was one clock opposite another clock.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, every time you pressed it, you heard the bell ring.
Yes.
And so what we used to do, if we wanted to help one of our mates out who might have been late, and not, you looked to see if your mate was in, if you were only just, it was just coming up the upper state or something. And the trick then was to put a card in each side, stand in the middle, and push both clocks down together.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Yes, you've triggered off a memory cell there.
And
yes,
of course,
absolutely.
The police would only hear one ring, and it wouldn't be obvious. If one bloke goes in and they hear it twice.
And the way we got off our bikes, at least like myself, it was rather like a dusty gravel path outside, and we used to, it looked like a Western film, the chap getting off his horse, you know. Standing on one pedal, skidding the brakes, throwing your bike against the outside of the shed and running out and bang!
You were in the measure. How long did you? Were you in the measure room? You were. It was like weighing cordite,
right,
measuring
right,
the diameters and things. How long did you have any work to do? Did they ever ask you to go into the main building for?
Oh yes, yes I did.
Tell us a bit about that.
Phil Lodge, who was a contemporary of mine there. And I were both chosen with very honourably to go and do the washing up in the upstairs lab.
Oh, yes. Hmm.
So we went through all the flasks and things. We used to make a superb polishing job of them all, you know.
Yes. That was quite a welcome relief from some of the...
Oh, yes, it was, yes. A little less tedious, shall we say. And I had no great exception to doing washing up, you know. It all had to be done, so that was it. Then I eventually went into the CE room.
Oh, yes, we all had to take a turn.
Yeah, but
that,
I think it would be before I went in there, I went into the same building, the little outbuilding where the measuring room was, into the other room at the back behind it there, where the mill was for grinding the cordite.
Yes,
ready for the heat test, which George Sewell used to do. And Phil Lodge was with me there too. He came in there, and another chap called Gerald Soule was there for a time, and he was another mate of mine in that room, and I spent some time there, building up the muscles and shoulders.
Yes,
nicely.
That was quite heavy work, Tony, that machine, wasn't it?
Indeed. Depending on the type of cordite, but you had this very thin stuff which was rather sticky, and we used to have to clean the mill. It was an awful bother. But the heavier stuff, going on to about, 3/32 of an inch or something that. Well, it was rather more crisp and ground nice and cleanly,
yes,
you know.
Yes, easy to
and,
brush out, wasn't it?
That was an easier one to do, yes.
Yeah. Did you ever suffer from NG headaches?
I did, yes, indeed. Oh, yeah. Especially when I had some put on my cake.
Oh, I remember that. That was a dodgy episode, yes. That was had to be hushed up.
It was a prank. It wasn't no evil intent. Because I had a blistered throat, I was forced to go to Mr. Blanchard, really, because of my own sort of medical safety, shall we say, and work safety, as it was due to work. If it needed some sort of time off, I would need to be sort of backed up by that for my pay. So I went to Mr. Blanchard and he ummed and ahed and NG on your cake. You could hardly believe it. I didn't let on who did it because
I knew full well
who did, but I would not let on because obviously it would cause an awful furor. So anyway, I established that it was done in work time, and that was all I was really worried about, you know. In fact, another one happened to me there. I remember the chief chemist who had a paper shop up the road. He treated it when a horsefly bit me on the forearm, it came up tremendously big, and he put some ammonia on it, and I think the ammonia caused me almost as much burn as the fly bite, you know. But I had a scar there for years, but at least it went down, you know. He did counter the evil injection.
Yes. any idea of what were the wages like then? Was it around about...
I think it was 23 shillings and sixpence.
Oh, yes. And then what? And there was about not much in the way of holidays, was it, apart from about a week or something, was it?
I think it was only about a week, yes.
Yeah, and I think Saturdays were obligatory, weren't they? Then, of course, yes.
They were. Saturday morning, I went in 6 days a week, that's right, sometimes on Sunday, that was overtime.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So sometimes it was a 7 day week.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And as I cycled 11 and a quarter miles each way along the Sewardstone Road as part of my journey.
Because you came from Leighton.
I came from Leightonstone, where my parents lived all their lives from there on, you know, and eventually died there. And it was in Selby Road, which is just off Canhall Road. I used to, cycle. Then right through Chingford, through the main centre of Chingford there, and then up Friday Hill, not Friday Hill, where the cemetery is.
Chingford Mount.
Chingford Mount, and then turn into the Sewardstone Road.
Oh, yes. Did you ever, sometimes a pretty poor winter than that?
It's a very, very severe winter.
But we still managed to get through somehow, I believe.
I remember distinctly sight on my bike resting at the lights in the crossroads in Chingford there. And a trolley bus, which were running at the time, stopped adjacent to me towards the centre of the road. And with its wheel spin, it started to slide down towards me. The camber of the road took it down, so I hopped off quickly onto the pavement. All these hazards, presented themselves. And I remember the Sewardstone Road well, because there were very few cars about, with petrol rationing, of course, with the war being on.
That's right.
And there were, in this very, very severe winter of 1939-40, you had these ruts along the Sewardstone Road, which hardened into ice and were about 4 to 5 inches deep. Riding along on a bike in these furrows was, quite hazardous, really. But we got very skilled at doing that, I think. Yeah. I came flying off, going down the hill, going down to where the Sewardstone Road begins.
Mansfield Hill.
Mansfield Hill, that's right.
Oh, yes.
The bike went a few yards in front of me, and I went down on my backside and got up rather wet on the seat, straightened out the bike and went on as though nothing would happen. It's the way we were built then, wasn't it?
Did you do in the main lab? Did you do any? Were you ever taken on upstairs and to do any actual, analytical work?
No. The lab work I did, I was transferred for a time anyway over to the what we called the other side, where the RDX was.
Oh yes.
And
up the tower.
They had this. It was in the form of a paste. It was for sort of engineers to explode on and blow bridges and things, wasn't it?
Yes.
PE, wasn't it? Plastic explosive. Yes. PE. Oh, yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And one job I had was to take a sample, weighed sample, put in a special little cylindrical type container made of like compressed cardboard, I would say. So this measured amount was then put in this container and pasted off, as we would say, and then on a square plate, which was measured about roughly 4.5 inches square and possibly about 3/16 of an inch thick. It was quite stout sort of armor plate, and we used to just put a touch of grease and put this in the center, and we took it out to this bunker and insert a detonator and run the cable to a Nobel exploder, and bang, they had to punch a hole straight through it.
I see. Oh,
that
yeah.
was that was that was yeah. quite interesting.
Yes. Was that, were you working with Percy Smith then?
Or yes, you... yes, Percy Smith was the chap, was yes. the chap in charge, you're quite
remember
right.
Do you anything of him, about him and that?
No, I know nothing about him, no.
And there was a very, the lab there.
The chap who was a senior fellow to myself, not, well, I should say in his 20s, very nice fellow to work with. We got on so very well, but I can't remember his name. But he certainly, we got on so swimmingly, and I think he gave quite a good report of what I did there, you know.
Yes. Did you, when you were on the south side, did you go around the plant at all?
No. No, we weren't allowed around the plant, really, were we?
That was the trouble with working at that time. You had to sort of keep in your own building.
Absolutely. We just in our own little room, and that was it, yes.
Yeah. So you can't really recall any particular works processes that were going on at the time you were there, because you know...
Not really, no.
Yeah, how long were you actually in the...
Well, no, that's a good question. It would be... I was there through, I think, most of 1940, and I would think it would be rather late in 41 when I decided I didn't want to be a chemist and went into a government training scheme for engineering, where I worked for a time there, and then volunteered for the Fleet Air Arm, where I learnt all my electronics.
I see, oh, yes. Can you recall any... particular individuals that you know, like foreman or
Ted the foreman,
Ted Hitch.
Ted Hitch. And I remember. Oh yes, I've been there. I've been in this job about a fortnight. This would help to date it actually when I got there, because it was just about 2 weeks, as you remember. And there was a colossal bang, an explosion which shook the lab. Bottles and things rattled, and some came tumbling down. And Ted Hitch, thinking, and we all thought it was a bomb, possibly, that Jerry had dropped, and there might be a raid on. So Ted Hitch said, in the shelter, everybody. So we all belted out to the air raid shelter, and nothing more happened. So we ventured out, and all seemed to be clear. But it was the gun the explosion in the gun cotton drying sheds.
Oh, yes. Which, that was about beginning of 1940, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that was almost dates the beginning of my career there. You know.
Was there any sort of comeback in the lab, like samples or things brought into the lab as a result of the thing? You know, you didn't sort of become aware of anything, any action after the explosion, stuff being brought in?
Particularly relating to the explosion?
Well, yes, like
not really, no. We got the usual nitroglycerine in its little open lead pot.
Oh, yes.
That was brought up by the pretty well the same chap all the time I was there.
Yeah.
He used to have this wooden case with a leather strap, quite a stout leather strap, of course, which he slung over his shoulder, carrying a number of these pots, and he would then put them in the lab, and they had the usual heat test and moisture test, which all the others had.
Oh,
so we had cordite samples and nitroglycerine samples come up there, yes.
Yes. As a result of the story goes on, if it is true, or if you're aware of it, that the chap who was bringing the samples down at the time of the explosion was actually killed by sympathetic...
I believe he was, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But let's see. Were there any, can you recall any humorous episodes at the time? The social life, I think when you left, see, later on we formed the dancing club and all that sort of thing, but
think...
by the time you left, I don't think that had got going.
No.
Can you recall anybody else joining? Had the girls come to the lab by then? The three or four girls joined the lab eventually.
Only one while I was there.
Oh yes.
She was the very first one and the only one while I was
did
there.
Did she work in the measurement room?
She was in the main lab upstairs.
Oh, yes.
What I do remember, there was this Home Guard formed while I was here, which I joined.
Oh, that did form
with great eagerness. And as a matter of fact, I was always a very good shot because my father took me to shoot with an air rifle. So when it came to the 2-2 shooting, I was raking out the bullseyes regularly. So I was when we had a shooting contest with another company, myself and the captain of that group, were you the two who used to represent our squad?
I see. Oh, yeah. Yes.
And we used to do snap shooting and application, which means that you shoot against a target, try and get to the balls every time.
As you get, oh yes.
That was quite a. I found that quite interesting and useful.
Oh yes. So, were you kidding out that time with uniforms?
We were.
Oh yes.
Yes. Well, we had to wait a while, of course, but we did have uniforms.
Yes, and then you had the evening parade in the factory, didn't they? Then that's what we had when I finished up in it.
We did spend evenings there after work time,
yes.
for training, yes.
Mm. Oh, yes. And you weren't on the... We were on the... I got on the signals. Were you... You were not on the signals?
No.
Section,
no, I wasn't, no.
Oh, yes.
We used to do sort of practice grenade throwing and, as I say, in the shooting gallery and a bit of all sorts of things like aircraft recognition. We did actually go once to the small arms factory at Enfield, and we had a round of 303s ammunition on a shortly Enfield rifle.
Oh yes, can you recall anything of Enfield? I suppose you weren't really in the place long enough to
get much
idea of what it was. And,
I remember the chap who demonstrated the rifle. He held it like a pistol. Because it was a bolt action, so he put the cartridge in the barrel, and he held it one shot and fired like you'd hold a pistol, not against his shoulder. And I remember the bang at close quarters was quite
brilliant.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely deafening. You know, you imagine a squad potting away at the Germans with those. It was nearly deafening, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We used to. A parade in a building on High Bridge Street, fairly close to Refinery Bridge. Perhaps I hadn't fitted that up when you were there. You know, just at the top, in a long part of a lane up the top in High Bridge Street, and there was a building there just before you crossed over the Humpback Bridge at Refinery Bridge.
Yes, there was. And I remember
that's
being
where
there.
That parade ground was.
Yeah, by the road there, there was like a smallish field. And I remember we were practicing our grenade throwing along
there.
That's
right. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Not live grenades, of course. Only they were dummies.
Yes. Oh yeah. See what is and then that's you don't recall any actual humorous episodes of. Do you remember the old boy on the bicycle coming round with the buns in the morning? Did he?
No, I don't remember that.
That was installed somewhat later.
No.
Because I think I joined, in the middle of your service.
Yes.
And I came into the lab because I was with you, into the measurement room because I was with you for the time.
Yes.
By then they were bringing buns around, you know, in the morning.
We were all hungry a lot in those days, weren't we?
Oh, yes.
Well, the food rationing, of course, didn't fill our stomachs quite so much as we do now.
No. Mm. You worked with Phil Lodge, didn't you?
I worked with Phil Lodge, yes.
Oh, yes.
And Gerald Sowell for a time, and George Sewell was next door doing heat tests.
That's right, yes.
And that was in, like, the other half of the building from where I started in the heat measurement. Hmm. And and there was just a partition between the heat test room where George Sewell was and where we were preparing the cordite and so on. But there was not a door, it was just an opening... A doorway, you could say, between the two.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
For quick communication, shall we say? So,
yeah.
So the whole of that small building was divided into three rooms, in effect.
Oh, yeah.
One taking half, and the other two each a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a little community with ourselves, and sometimes you get people come down. Like I remember Snoop coming down, and
oh yes, Snoop
and other people who, and we'd always have a. We all have a joke, of course.
Yes, that's right. Yes. While you were there, Phil Lodge wasn't called up for the mines. He was eventually. He wasn't what in your time.
No, it? No, that would have been later. Yes.
But do you remember Eric Speller? Was he there then? Eric Speller up there. I'm trying to think.
Now that name sounds familiar.
How many people you can remember? They worked in the actual main lab. Harry Burr.
Oh yes, Harry Burr. I remember him well. Yes.
And. Cyril Povey, do you remember?
Yes,
him?
Povey. Yes, I remember him. Yes.
I think he would. He was in the corridor, in the CE room.
He was in the CE room for a long time, wasn't he?
Quite a long time in there. Yes.
Yes. And another young fellow, smallish with glasses, was in there too. I can picture him, but I can't quite put a name to him.
There's a chap named Alan.
Yes.
Used to sit in the corner doing grits on CE.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that photograph? It was after you'd gone, I think, but there was a photograph taken of the mob outside.
Yes, you kindly sent me.
Did I send you a copy?
Sent me one of those, yes.
Yes, oh, well, anyway, that seems to have got quite a bit down. Did you by any chance meet a future husband or a future wife at RGPF? Or
No, that was much later. That was,
that was associated with it,
I came out of the forces,
Oh, well, that's, I think, that's... what sort of holidays?
Because I was only about... When I started there, you see, I was 16 in the July, so I would have been about 16 and a half when I started there.
Oh, yes. Quite young, yeah.
Yeah. So I was only 17 when I left.
Oh, yes.
When I was 18, I went into the Fleet Air Arm when I was a month or so short of 19. I was 18, actually, in June 1942.
Oh, yeah.
So I had two or three quick changes there, didn't I?
So you were only in the mills, actually, for about a year, 18
about
months?
About a year to 18 months, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. No longer.
Yes. What sort of holidays did you have, you know, during the... Did you go away or go cycling or anything like that, you know, during...
While I was working at RGPF?
Yes. You know, during our week's holiday, did you?
Oh, no,
I
couldn't have afforded a holiday. No, I'm sure.
I used to go youth hostelling. I remember.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I don't clearly remember what I did. I didn't go away anywhere. The last holiday I had away was at the end of my school time. I went away with my parents up into Lancashire.
Oh
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Scarborough. That's right. Scarborough. That was the place. Yes, I remember now. Yes, I was still 16 then, and that was the last good holiday I had.
You used to down in the Pelham Lane in the Institute, they used to call it, didn't they? The library buildings was called referred to the Institute, I think.
Oh yes, yes.
And did you remember a chap who used to look after it, a chap named Dennis, an old boy?
I do. Yes, he used to sit in the corner doing his bookwork, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
Yes. He looked as though he belonged to Scrooge's office.
Exactly, yes, you're right there, yes. Yeah.
With glasses to match, like steel rims, if I remember correctly, and the crouch position, yes.
Yeah.
A quill pen would have fitted it exactly, I think.
Oh, well, anyway, Graham, that's fine then, so... about this. Anyway, that's quite a good general survey of the... you know, thanks a lot and
a pleasure.
So cheerio.
I'll see you at the next bun fight.
Yeah. Cheers. Okay, I'll stop it now then.